This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com, the independent voice of UNC Sports, brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com, the go-to provider for all your Tar Heel gear.
Welcome to the Inside Carolina podcast, sponsored by Johnny T-Shirt and JohnnyT-Shirt.com. I'm your host, John Siegley. I am joined by Dewey Burke. Following UNC's loss to Clemson, Dewey, if there's just one word I think that sums up this loss, it's disappointing. Looking at the fact that UNC was without Jeremiah Francis, who was being held out of the game, I thought that UNC pretty much had no shot. However, they were up 10, 2 minutes to go, and somehow found a way to lose this game. Where are you at right now, man, after watching that unfold?
Well, it's crushing. Just crushing for the guys and for the staff, obviously. Because you felt like you were getting the monkey off your back and you were within a couple minutes of finishing the game out. And then they made every possible mistake down the stretch that they could. You probably saw a little bit of what it was to have an inexperienced point guard playing the bulk of the minutes at the one, not having Cole and not having Jeremiah, who are probably, not probably, have played more minutes down the stretch at the point guard position than Leaky, but there's still no excuse. I mean, let's just be very honest. We had experienced players turn the ball over, and then Clemson made all the shots they needed to make, and we let them back in. We gave them hope, and they went ahead and took it.
The most crushing thing to me, man, is that UNC played good enough to win. I mean, they got a career night out of Brandon Robinson, who put in 27 points. It was clear that every single guy out there was trying to win this game. This was a huge game of importance for them. And unfortunately, it's like you said, and it was just everything that they could have done wrong, they managed to do during that final 2 minutes. Is that more on the players themselves? Do you think that maybe Coach Williams could have taken a timeout? Was there any way to avoid that happening in your eyes, Dewey?
I mean, sure. He could have taken a timeout to tell him what he's told him a million times. I mean, we do press offense twice, three times a week in practice, every week, every season. I mean, you had Brandon Robinson, a senior, throw the ball away twice. You had Leaky throw the ball away. Yeah, you just... We came out of a timeout and threw the ball away. So he did call a timeout, or B-Rob called a timeout. We set up a half-court inbounds play, and we threw the ball away. So I know everybody likes to jump on Coach about the timeout thing, but he didn't call a timeout for the first couple of turnovers. Then we had a timeout, and we still turned it over. So it's just making the wrong plays by guys that should know better. And it's one of the crazy things at the end of a game when stuff like that happens, you'd be better off sticking the ball under your jersey and just doing nothing than throwing the ball to the other team. But we kept throwing it to them. They kept putting the ball right in the basket, hit a couple threes, and give B-Rob credit for hitting the free throws to push it to three. And then you give their big guy credit, Sims, for hitting the three to tie the game. Obviously, there'll be debate that we could have fouled, but there was a lot of time left when that possession started. You know, I think it's possible that we could have maybe said, hey, don't foul until it gets under a certain number of clicks. But they jumped right into a set. I mean, the point guard dribbled across the line and made one pass, and the guy caught and shot it, and they ran a nice play. So we did everything wrong. They did everything right. And then in overtime, you could just feel it wasn't going to go our way. And we overplayed, and they got several backdoors. That's just a crushing loss. I can't imagine what it feels like in that locker room right now. Cause as you said, played good enough to win, played good enough for 38 minutes, but the margin for error is so thin, thinner than it's ever been. So unless you play good enough to win for 40 minutes, not 38, it's not going to win.
And I think what we're seeing is that this team is incredibly hot and cold. If they're playing with confidence, like they did at times today, to build the lead, you know, they can be a dangerous team. And it was the same thing against Georgia Tech, where they built a lead and then unfortunately just let it crumble away. And I think you nailed it there in overtime that the guys were just so in their own minds. Clemson was able to really take advantage of that. And I mean, credit to the Tigers. They did not go away in this game. But, you know, is there really any way, Dewey, to kind of build that mental fortitude, or is it just something that develops? And I mean, you've either got it or you don't at this point.
I don't know how to answer that. I mean, right now we don't have it. Obviously, we've been up double digits in the last two games and haven't been able to finish the job. So, killer instinct or conditioning or confidence, I don't know what it is, but nothing really to say. Just feel, dark days. Dark days when you struggle to figure out a way to win, especially like we said, when you're playing a Clemson team that's not very good. And we had them on the ropes and just handed it to them on a platter.
I know this is probably the toughest game to do a post game pod after. I mean, if UNC had pulled it out, I was prepared to talk about how this was such an important game just to keep the streak alive. Now history unfortunately has been made in a negative way for these guys. And I think Sherelle and Tommy talked about that on their podcast that, I mean, if you're a player, you just don't want to be known as the group that gave up the streak. And unfortunately, now we've seen it happen. I mean, if there was a positive to take away, I think it was the play of Brandon Robinson. He really laid it all out there. I mean, 27 points, 5 for 13 from beyond the three, 9 of 17 overall. And also, they saw a resurgence from Armando Bacot, who had 7 of 10. He had 21 points. And those are definitely the two highlights. And I mean, there are some building blocks, though, that the team can use. I just don't really know what else they could do at this point to turn their fortunes around, because teams just are not afraid of the Tar Heels this season at all, and with good reason, unfortunately.
No, that's right. There's no reason for anybody to fear us. They would if Cole was playing, because you have a dynamic offensive talent that, that can go get 30 at any point. But it's going to be like this. This is just how the year is shaping up. Hopefully Cole comes back quickly. But Coach said, I think twice this week, what Tommy and I have talked about on this podcast. And it's not a knock on the character of the kids on the team. It's just this is a low talent group relative to what we typically have. And it just goes to show you, as great a coach as Coach Williams is, and there are examples of every great coach has had a year like this in their lifetime, where if you don't have the talent, it doesn't matter how good you are, you're going to look mediocre as a team. And that's what we're going through. Obviously, we've got a great class coming in, but focusing on this year, we have to play great and play well for 40 minutes to beat anybody left on our schedule. I mean, the last three games were all teams, I believe, coming in with a losing record or close to 500. And we felt like we should beat all three of them, and we lost all three of them at home because we didn't play well enough for 40 minutes. Georgia Tech, we played well for half, and then Pitt and Clemson played well for longer stretches. Clemson, obviously, the longest, but the margin for error is so thin. We just don't have guys that cannot play well and we can still win. We just don't have that talent.
Let me take a quick moment to talk about our friends at Johnny T-Shirt and JohnnyT-Shirt.com. They are your place to go for Carolina gear. If you need anything for the Tar Heel fan in your family, you can head over to Franklin Street, where Johnny T-Shirt has been in business for decades. They have the absolute best customer service, and like I already said, they have anything that you could want for your Tar Heels. If you can't make it to Chapel Hill, you can always shop online at Johnny T-Shirt and JohnnyT-Shirt.com. Get that same great selection and the same great customer service. And also remember that if you are a subscriber to Inside Carolina, you get 10% off of your orders either online at JohnnyT-Shirt.com or at their store on Franklin Street. You can get that 10% off code from the Tar Pit Premium Message Board or the Basketball Premium Message Board. So that's Giant T-Shirt and GiantT-Shirt.com, your place to go for Carolina gear. Divi, let me ask you about the entry passes, because I think that is by far the area where UNC needs to improve. And I think the entry passes have just been so bad this season. There were multiple times where I was watching the game and either Baycott or Brooks, they would have their guy sealed off and have pretty good positioning, but the perimeter players just were not able to get them the ball inside. I mean, when you're being taught those entry passes, how does Coach Williams do it? And then how can the players themselves just get the ball to the post guys like we know Coach wants them to do?
Yeah, I mean, I think with the exception of B-Rob, he's the only one who's a legitimate perimeter threat. So the other guys trying to make those post-entry passes, their man is sagging off of them. So they're playing that passing lane because they're not concerned about if you're Leaky or Play Tech or really those are the guys that played the bulk of the minutes. You're not concerned about those guys hitting from the outside, which we saw statistically today. So that's part of it. And part of it's timing. You know, when your bigs seal and get good position, the ball's got to be on them right then. And if you miss the timing, you miss the window, then the post player gets out of rhythm and he's got to reset. So I wouldn't say rhythm is one of the things we have much of offensively right now. We struggle to score. We get almost nothing or virtually nothing in transition, which we're all used to Carolina teams doing. I'm trying to look right now. Fast break points, 4 points. So we get nothing in transition, which means nothing easy. We didn't out rebound them. I don't believe we tied for rebounds. We shot the ball worse from the perimeter. So actually, if you look at the statistics, it looks like we probably should have lost that game on paper because they shot the ball better than us from the outside and made more, I think, more free throws. No, we made more free throws than them, but did not rebound them like we typically do. We didn't get out and run like we typically do. So we got nothing from our bench. So on paper, it looks like we should have lost, but obviously it was our game. But I think your question poses a larger issue, which is just a lack of rhythm, a lack of ability on the offensive end. Yes, Garrison's given us a lift, and Mondo was better today, but we just don't have guys that naturally score the basketball, whether it's in transition or a half court. And so because of that, every possession is a grinded out, how are we going to find a way to get a good look? And if we do, hopefully we make it. But you saw, especially down the stretch, we couldn't get a bucket, turned the ball over, couldn't get anything going in overtime, and lost the game.
And Andrew Playtech really helped out with 6 assists. I think he definitely played his best game in a Tar Heel uniform. Unfortunately, though, he is 0-for-5 from 3-point. You mentioned the 3-point shooting, and Clemson was 12-of-31 overall. UNC only 6-of-26, and the only other person from Brandon Robinson who made a three was Leaky Black. I mean, that's something that it's not going to improve. It is what it is. Like you said, UNC is just having to grind out these possessions. And, you know, I'm looking here trying to see where the real hope would be aside from Cole coming back. But I think that really is as simple as it goes where, you know, until and if Cole Anthony rejoins the team, this is kind of how it's going to be, unfortunately.
It is. Look, we're going to struggle to score. You know, what we're used to watching, you know, Carolina score in the 80s and 90s and get up and down. We don't have that ability. We don't have the explosiveness offensively. And so we're going to try to grind out wins in the, like this one, 60s and 70s. And the difficult thing, and everybody was saying it, and I didn't disagree, was this was the part of the schedule we felt like we could get back on track and get a couple wins at home against teams that were mediocre by record. And we just couldn't find a way. And so I think, as you said, if, when, and hopefully Cole does come back, that just, it changes everything. We still, even with him, are a lower talented team, but it just gives us somebody so dynamic that, and we talked about it before on the podcast, when Cole plays, he has 10 eyes of the defense on him. So those shots for B-Rob are that much more open. The ability to post entry by Cole is a lot easier because he's a threat. So that means Mondo and Garrison are a little more free to catch the ball in the post and make a move. He is actually very good defensively, so we should get more stops. And he also pushes the pace himself. He's a one-man break. So all those things are critical. I still think we will struggle to beat teams in this conference, even with him. But at least you have another guy that can put the ball in the basket. So look, it's going to be tough. It's going to be hard for us to win. And we just got to take our lumps. Or one thing's for sure, and I said this before, nobody feels bad for North Carolina. Nobody feels bad for a coach that has almost 800 and or 900 wins. Nobody feels bad for kids that have been recruited to Carolina and got to live that life while they've been there. And nobody cares that our great class is coming next year. Nobody feels bad for us, so we shouldn't feel bad for ourselves. Got to dig it out of the dirt. Got to keep working. And if you get another opportunity at the end of the game where you should win, you got to close because we're just not talented enough to take our foot off the gas at any moment. And we did it for 2 minutes, cost us the game.
Yeah, this is going to be a huge what-if season as well, because looking around the rest of the ACC, I mean, they're just not really any truly teams. Duke is right now looks like the class of the ACC, unfortunately, for UNC fans. But I mean, Virginia just went down to Clemson earlier on in the day. NC State was off to a hot start. They lost to Virginia Tech. It's just a lot of parity in the ACC this year. And if the Tar Heels had Cole Anthony, I think that they're actually in a pretty decent position rather than looking to have work to do to get to the NIT. I mean, you know, it's just one of those historical what ifs. And unfortunately, the reality is here we stand with UNC being at 8-8, 1-4 in the ACC.
Yeah. And I'm on the message boards. I guess Coach Williams just said during his press conference that, that he forgot to tell the guys to foul when we were up three.
Well, so, here's the thing, though. Do they really need to be told to foul in that situation, Dewey? I mean,
well, my argument would be yes, because typically, as the way I haven't been in huddles in a long time, but I have friends that coach, and we've talked about this. And typically, as I understand it, it's a time and score decision. So, how much time is left when you're up three? And a lot of what I've understood is, you know, pick your number, 6-5 seconds or less. You foul as soon as the ball is inbounded because the thinking is by the time they stop the clock, there's maybe 2 or 3 seconds left, and now they're going to the line, and the probability of them making the first, missing the second, getting the rebound to tie the game is very low. But when you have double digits in terms of time on the clock, I have heard it taught that you just play it straight and try to switch every screen and just don't let them get a three off. The obvious question then is, okay, well, if there's 12, 15 seconds left like we had and they bring the ball up and then it gets to that 4, 5, 6 second period, then can't you foul? Well, sure, that makes sense. Obviously, you become more concerned that you might foul a three-point shooter in that instance if a guy is catching the ball near the line. So I don't know what he told him. You know, what it would have had to be is, okay, guys, we're up one. B-Rob's going to make both. And when they bring the ball across half court, there should probably be about 8 seconds left, and we're going to foul and put them on the line. And so for whatever reason, maybe the assumption wasn't he was making both or they didn't consider it. But if, in fact, he wanted them to foul and didn't tell them, you're seeing what he said, that he made the mistake. So like I said, and just to be very straight, Wes Miller, head coach of UNC Greensboro, Bobby Fraser, who's a high school coach, talked about it with those guys, right? And that's kind of the theory they take to it, is what I explained. So hate that coach feels like it was his fault. Usually you feel like it's everyone. You know, you lose as a program, you win as a program, but sounds like he wished he told him to foul.
Yeah, there were some pretty strong quotes from Roy Williams out of the press conference. It looks like Ross Martin is all over that. Inside Carolina will, of course, have the full coverage. Dewey, let's take one last commercial break, and when we come back, I only have one more aspect of this real season to go over with you, so stay tuned. We'll be right back after this.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
And we are back with the Inside Carolina podcast. John Sigley here with Dewey Burke. And Dewey, the one thing that I did want to close this podcast out is giving a shout out to the home crowd and the fans, because the atmosphere in the Dean Dome today was excellent. I mean, they were loud throughout. They were on their feet. They were really giving the players everything that they could. I hope, though, that the fans do not abandon the team, because if there's one thing that will only compound how they are feeling down right now, that's undeniable. I mean, they've got to feel bad after this loss. But if the fans abandon them, it's just going to be that much worse. Speak to it, or speak to the fans about their support, how they can just, you know, still be there for these guys throughout what is going to be a difficult season.
Well, that, you know, this is something that would get me pretty fired up if that was the case, that our fans just jump ship when we have one tough season, you know, out of 17, or I guess a second tough season as far as Coach Williams is concerned in 17 years. So I'm not going to say what I'd like to say, you know, but that'd be embarrassing. And I expect better. I think we all expect better from our fans. Hang in there with them. No one cares more about our school and our program and our kids than Coach Williams. I mean, just, I didn't watch the press conference. I will, but reading what this sounds like it was, and knowing what he's like when we lose. And I was never on a team that was 8-8 or struggled like this or lost this many in a row. Knowing what he was like in the locker room after games that we lost when I was playing, or the games that ended our seasons, the amount of emotion he feels when he feels like he let us down. It's a crushing thing. It's a heartbreaking thing. So I can only imagine what it's like in there, in the Smith Center, in the locker room, for Coach, for the staff. It's tough. But you know what's great about it is, you know, for me, for guys who played before me, I have a pain in my heart right now, and that's because we care. It's because it's special, and I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know that at other programs, guys like me who haven't played in 13, 14 years ache in their heart when their team loses. You know, I don't know any of these kids. I obviously know the staff, but I still ache when we lose, especially like that. So that's part of what makes us special, part of what makes us great. So hang in there with us, hang in there with Coach, and he'll just try to get better and help the kids get better. And they just need a win. That's all. Winning heals all.
Absolutely. Well, I think that you put it very well there, Dewey. We'll go ahead and wrap this one up, man. Thanks a lot for talking to me. And we'll hopefully speak again later on in the season after a UNC victory.
All right. Thanks, John.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com. Brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com. Where to go for your next Tar Heel gear purchase.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.